Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. You're tuned to KSJE, Farmington, New Mexico, 90.9 FM. And now 103.3 FM, K277CR, Durango, Colorado.
Welcome to Cop Shop. I'm the Public Information Officer for Farmington Police Department, Nicole Brown. And of course, as always, with me is the Chief.
It's good to see you again, Nicole.
I know, you too.
Excellent, excellent. You know, kind of ad-libbing. You know, right at the last minute, I gestured to Nicole, and she picked it up.
And I didn't mess it up.
Honestly, she's a professional. This is what
well,
we asked.
Well, the last time I tried to bring it in, I totally messed it up. Yeah, well. So I had to redeem myself.
We don't focus on our failures. We focus on just success.
Thanks.
So welcome, everybody, to another episode of The Cop Shop. We've got a lot going on in the country and a lot going on. In the state, and a lot going on with the profession of policing. Mm-hmm. And so we thought we'd talk some about some of the legislation that came out of the special session and how it impacts the PD. I think we've done that a little bit, and we want to keep talking about that so that you know what the expectation is on police and maybe understand some of the things that we wind up doing as a result of the new legislation. And then we want to talk about some of the good stuff that's been going on in the community, because we've really, and Nicole's really been highlighting in our Facebook page, we've really been feeling the love.
Yeah, no, our community is so supportive of law enforcement, and they show it in so many amazing ways. We had Sign Gypsies of Farmington. Go look them up. They're awesome. They put a sign up in our grass by our flagpoles. On Wednesday. They did it Tuesday night, so it was up all day Wednesday. And I was really kind of bowled over with all of the responses from the officers. They really, really appreciated that. That really made their day. They enjoyed it, and it made an impact on them, which I knew that it would be cool, and I was really excited when they reached out to do it. But I did not anticipate how... yesterday, I've been on vacation all week.
Really?
Yeah.
Wasn't aware of that.
and I popped in just for a little while yesterday. Yeah, and
that's what we call showing up for work. Just popped in.
I just popped in. And but it was really amazing. Everyone that I came in contact with brought up the sign and how amazing it was and how impactful it was for them. So that was just amazing. I'm so glad that they reached out to us and did it. But then our officers just at their homes are finding gifts, or on patrol, people are handing them cards. And our community has just really shown up and really reached out to us in such a great way. And when we look at the news and see what's going on across the nation, man, I'm grateful that we live here, and yep, the people that live here are so wonderful.
So I didn't, I wasn't part of the inner circle, and actually as a chief, I usually think I am part of the inner circle, but I wasn't aware that they were going to be doing that or that they had reached out to anyone within the department. So I pulled in, actually one of my sergeants had sent me this and asked me who had done it. Just before I arrived at work, and then when I got to work, and you can see it up on the Facebook page of my Facebook page and the PD's. Scott's got it displayed right now. If you're watching us on Facebook, and it was beautiful. It was first of all, a beautiful bright blue day, and there, you know, is a big thank you FPD. And at that time, I was unaware who had done it, so it felt like a really wonderful surprise for our officers and our staff, and made my day too. These have been some long months. You track us back to the start of the year. The legislative session was controversial. There were some things that came out of that. Then we started COVID. That's got its issues, and public health orders. Then you had the Floyd killing and all that came after that. Mm-hmm. So it's been long, long days for the police. And that can translate into sitting on the edge of your bed when you're trying to put on your uniform, scratching your head whether today's a day I maybe just pop in, for instance. but you do, you shore up and you head into work, and all of our officers have, and all of our employees have. But this was great, and it was just one sign of, like Nicole saying, of so many here in Farmington of people reaching out. It's almost like 9/11. You know, in 9/11, I was in Anchorage, Alaska, and you couldn't do anything. I mean, I couldn't have been further away from New York than being in Anchorage. But you wanted somehow to do something. And so we've had people showing up and handing gift cards to officers, and we've all put on a bunch of weight. So we need the gym to be back fully working, because we're putting on weight from all the food that's been brought. It's been just fantastic.
Somebody brought cookies, and I don't know who it was, because they saw an officer walking into the station and just kind of flagged him down and said, here's some cookies for you guys. Those were amazing. I've been on a diet, and I was like, oh no, this is terrible. I'm going to eat all of these. I had to leave. They were amazing.
So. I was even, I was with the fire chief a week ago, and we were in plain clothes, and so we thought we were somewhat surreptitious, and we were at Texas Roadhouse, and somebody bought our meals, and I've been hearing from officers around the department, which is something that I generally don't like. I generally don't want the public to feel like they should be paying for us, or certainly businesses to be comping us. But this is such a different time period. People just want to feel like they're helping, like they're reaching out and mm-hmm. Letting the officers and employees know that they have our back. And I get it. It is a tough time. It's tough for our officers, and the public here has really made it great by really showing up, like you said.
Yeah, no, it's been amazing, and makes, like I said, me feel, and I hope the officers are feeling this way too, just so grateful to live here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm wearing my Peaches Neat Feet Hustle Kindness shirt.
I have that exact shirt. I failed to wear it today.
But it's, yeah, I mean, I love that that's kind of our mantra, you know, that we're hustling kindness to each other.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm happy to be here and live here.
And you're happy to have joined the Farmington Police Department
a
little over a year ago.
I know.
Isn't that,
I know.
We just passed your one-year anniversary.
That's crazy.
You know, I told Scott we were all going to come in and sing happy anniversary to you, and Scott said no. And
yeah,
okay, we didn't do it. Thanks, Scott, for that support.
Just make sure that I get that pay bump. That's what, no, I'm just kidding.
No, I already had to stare long and hard at that. Boy, she's not on probation anymore, huh?
No, I'm not.
But all of a sudden, you stop showing up to work, and you just walk in. It's not a coincidence.
I needed a week of vacation. We were, you know, our social media has been really busy, and there's a lot going on with, you know, the public health orders, and like you said, just kind of the national feeling with policing. And then there's been two very hard line of duty deaths. Of course, they weren't here in New Mexico, but they're still tough. And so I needed a week off, Gene.
I don't think I blame you at all. I don't. So in line with that, we actually had a couple of ugly line of duty deaths across the country. So, you know, part of the problem right now is there is a lot of focus on police misconduct, and there should be, and there are officers that that don't do their job. There are officers that actually, you know, are bad. But at the same time, you know, we really wind up not celebrating. We certainly demonize, I guess is the word I'm looking for. We demonize those events and those individuals, but then we tend to overlook, you know, the other ones. And so in Tulsa, Oklahoma, you had a sergeant that made a traffic stop. A second officer shows up. Of course, there's lots of national focus on police use of force. They wind up in a force encounter with a driver who's able to fight through. He gets tased. He pulls the tasers out, pulls the prongs out. He gets pepper sprayed. He fights through all that. He gets to a gun underneath his seat, and he shoots both the officers in the head, shooting the sergeant multiple times. The sergeant dies. And I'm watching that on television, and Nicole could tell you in a different setting. You know, I was very unhappy about the lack of attention that goes to that. So a crime's a crime, right? So what happened to Mr. Floyd was a crime. The guy was arrested. The guy's going to face jail time. And it caused national outrage. And I do get it. I do get that the police are the focus of that. But at the same time, you know, this officer had a wife and kids and was just doing his job. He shot in the head, killed, and we don't even mention it. And then this last week, I think it was early morning on the 4th of July, so Independence Day. The kid has just a couple hours before he gets stopped by a couple of citizens. They asked him if their sons can look through his car, and so he takes some time and lets them look through the car. And they take a photo of him, which is about the last photo of the kid that there's going to be. And he's standing there with the two kids, and it's a nice scene. 2 hours later, he's shot and killed responding to a call. But he's still alive at the time that he gets on the radio and he says, you know, tell my family I love them, and to the dispatchers. So, you know, I get that I can't breathe, but, you know, I tell my family I love them as he bleeds to death while defending our country and his community. It's just, so I'm never very happy that there isn't a bigger outrage over some of those events, but it is where we are right now. So that made stuff like we were talking about the sign and some of that, and just where we live as a community, it makes it much more meaningful.
I agree. Yeah, our community support, you know, it does make it more meaningful, and it is tough. Those last words as a dispatcher, I can't imagine how that dispatcher feels and what that dispatcher is going through, and that center and that community, and so it does make what our community does, the support they give us, so much more meaningful.
Yeah, yeah. So you were a dispatcher for several years, and that'd be a tough radio call.
Well, that's your worst nightmare. I mean, essentially, you have to listen to that. Yep. That you can't. You know, all you can do is put it out over the radio that officer needs help and hope that everyone can get there fast enough. And that's it. That's all you can do.
Yeah, that's the tough role of a dispatcher, of just kind of sitting back and not being able really to see the end of the story, mm-hmm. at least not to play a big role in it. So yeah, that was a tragedy. That was in Toledo, Ohio. Here on, like I said, on the 4th of July. So there's been some tough days. Now we've had other events going on closer to home in New Mexico, not as tragic as that, but nonetheless interesting for policing. SB 8 was passed and was signed by the governor yesterday, I think.
I think it was, yeah.
Yesterday morning. SB 8 specifically relates to body cameras. It's a mandate by the legislature and now the governor that all departments are going to have body cameras. And they've got 90 days from the date that she signed that into law to implement a body camera program. So Farmington PD has had one since 6 months or so before I got here. Chief Westall instituted that with his command staff at that time. And we have just gone through a significant upgrade of that system last August. We're still in the process of doing it. And so SB 8 will be good in many ways. I am a fan of body cameras. And Scott is playing for you right now. A nice video that Nicole put together of just some of the more routine interactions that our police officers have with citizens that our body cameras capture every day. So, yes, there are those spectacular ones, and we love the spectacular ones, I guess, to watch 50 times. But every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, there's police officers out there here in Farmington, and they're wearing their body cameras. And they're recording their interactions. And overwhelmingly, our officers are respectful, and the citizens are too. And we're trying to solve problems together. We're trying to help each other in a difficult time. And so we do have that up. And so I am a supporter of SB 8, and I don't mind the body camera thing at all. My problems with the SB 8 was the 90-day implementation is just entirely unrealistic. And actually sets departments up for failure. So, like I said, we did our upgrade, and we have experience with body cameras. We did our upgrade last August. We're still trying to work out problems. We still have contaminated files, and we lose video as a result of it. In fact, right before the COVID, we were going to have the vendor come out here to Farmington to work on the problems, and it was like 6 or 7 months after we started going live. Of course, now with this, with SB 8, that company and just about every other body-worn camera company in America is under siege from departments trying to get body cameras, so it's hard for us to get their attention to come fix our problems. So there's, you know, life's never black or white. It's always a mixture. So while I support the bill, it's causing us issues already with our vendor in trying to get some of our problems solved. But I think there's some departments that really have been opposed to body cameras, and this bill is essentially going to end that controversy.
It is, and we talked about it on our last episode with Captain Dowdy and Lieutenant Lacey, and they brought up a lot of good points of that. Usually departments aren't opposed to body cameras because they don't want to be accountable. It's the cost that it takes to do them and to keep up the storage and, you know, all the recurring costs that come with that. And some of the communities can't afford it. You know, that department can't afford it. And so it's not necessarily, you know, good cops dislike bad cops probably more than the average person does.
Yes.
So, you know, we want to be held accountable. It's just sometimes it takes a lot of money to install those systems and upkeep and all of that. And I know our upgrade was
1.4 million. Yeah. And, you know, hat in hand with that then is, okay, now you have all this video. Now people want to see all that video, including court cases and things like that. So we essentially have a full-time clerk and another part-time clerk that do nothing but answer IPRA requests, answer discovery requests, and things of that nature. So it's not like we got more staff, but now they're doing something that they didn't used to do, which means something else they were doing they're not doing now. And that's intimidating for especially smaller departments mm-hmm. that know that they're already, you know, working with skeletal administrative staff. So all that sounds like, you know, it's excuse making until you're actually running the department and you're trying to figure out how are we going to do this. Just from a stand back, you know, let's pretend I wasn't the Farmington chief. I think I would tell you body cameras are a great thing, and they almost always show the officer in a positive light. Our shootings, you know, certainly I think it's important for the public to see what our officers face when they go into a shooting, and you kind of come away saying, well, you know, A, I'm glad I'm not in that set of circumstances, and B, the officer probably did about the best that he could do under those circumstances. But when you're actually in the seat and you're trying to figure out how are we going to pay for this, how are we going to staff this, how are we going to answer all the IPRA requests, and, you know, I'm probably a little less enthusiastic than if I wasn't in that spot, and I think that's where a lot of the chiefs are. Now, we've had it pay off for us, and I love it, but I would also like to see, and so I was disappointed with the legislative session, and I would talk with the governor, and I would like to talk with the governor at some point, about other more meaningful police reform things that are not being done and that actually could bring equal or if not better long-term impact. The first one is the issue of police certification. And the decertification process for officers who are accused of misconduct and those accusations are sustained by a department goes through the State Law Enforcement Academy Board. They're charged with receiving the paperwork from a chief that says this officer should not be an officer anymore. He should have his license pulled. And that process is right now hopelessly backlogged. More than 100 cases are still sitting down there. They are not acted on, or at least they have not been brought to any sort of conclusion. So you have 100 officers or more that chiefs are saying this officer's misconduct should prevent him from being an officer, yet they still have their certification. So that's a big one. And then another one that, to me, if you want to settle down some chiefs on, including me, on the issue of body cameras, let's address the IPRA laws. And it shouldn't be that hard to address the IPRA laws. But right now, you call your government, you call your police department because you're having a problem. Let's say your mom falls down in the bathtub. Your mom's an elderly person. She's in the shower. She slips and falls. Officers show up with body cameras. They're recording their event, of course, because we want to watch what happens with the police. But then at the end of the call, we help the citizen get the medics in. We go on our way. Now that footage is all IPRA-able. So we take your mom, when you called us for help, we take your mom, the video of her naked as she's in the bathtub, and we hand it out to any citizen that asks for it to do whatever they want to do with it. And if that's our goal, if our goal is really to watch the police, well, then let's watch the police. If that's not our goal, then what are we doing? You know, I mean, we're violating other people's personal privacy just to prove a point. That should not be an insurmountable challenge, but we have not tackled it at all. We refuse to address it, and anybody who brings up these kind of issues, then, you know, you're just making excuses. No, I love the body cameras. I want us to have the body cameras. I want us to address this, though. Even the ACLU, if you pull up the ACLU's Facebook page or their website, they have right on there that they now think body cam footage should mostly not be released. which is an interesting switch because they were huge proponents of body cameras when they first came out. But then they started bumping in, oh, wait a minute, you know, this isn't showing the police misconduct. This is showing citizens in their own home and in private terrible circumstances where the police are, and now it just becomes an exploitation thing. So I would love to tell you that I frequently agree with the ACLU. That may not actually be the case, but I do in this case. So there's got to be some room for some common ground.
Yeah, and just that working together, hopefully, will. I think that they really wanted to push this bill through to have it in there. And I think that hopefully in the spring, it's something that they're going to work more closely with law enforcement to kind of refine. And because I do feel like, you know, you don't call for police when you're having your best time, your best moments.
No. Call for the fire department when you're
right. Right, they'll come give you hugs.
Right. Which no, I never like.
You never call 911 or, you know, for help like that on your best day. And so, you know, having body cameras is essential for officer accountability. And we're never going to argue that point.
No.
But we will argue for protection of victims and protection of people who are just need help. And anyone, their neighbor or someone who, you know, doesn't like them or whatever, that knows about that incident can come in and request to see that footage and request to get a copy of it. And so there's got to be, you know, an element of protecting the people that we serve.
Right.
So hopefully that will come out.
And we'll kind of finish, I guess, today with news again that came out yesterday, and that was the governor's press conference. Unfortunately for us here in New Mexico, but we're not alone. I think it's several states in our area. Public health order was expanded again. We're going back into a lockdown, at least of indoor seating for restaurants, mm-hmm. and an expansion of mask wearing.
Yes.
And masks in this current time zone, I know everybody's got opinions on it. I don't want to wear a mask ever. I want the police to go out and cite everybody. And so now walk with me through this last half hour of talking about the police and some of the difficult positions we've been in. And I can tell you, you know, neither myself nor any officer, and I have talked to many chiefs across the state, is in a big hurry to start going out and issuing citations to people and getting into confrontations with people who are unhappy about having to wear a mask. So about the time somebody's, you know, trespassed from Lowe's and we wind up having to tase them and pepper spray them and we're front page of CNN, you know, that's probably not what our goal is right now. So we are enforcing the public health order. To my knowledge right now, there is not a single court across New Mexico who has ruled it unconstitutional. So like them or not, these are the rules, and the courts so far are backing the governor. So we are following the law in that we will do enforcement. We show up, we try and educate people. Some people don't know about the changes in the law. We hand out free masks. We try and educate them about the responsibility businesses have to not have people coming in without masks. But we are desperately trying to seek no confrontation over these things with people. We don't need it as a profession. We don't need it as a police department. So we're doing our best to enforce it while remaining the friendly and serviceable people we are.
That's right. That's right. And honestly, we just want everyone to be safe.
Yes.
And if doctors are telling, you know, and the public, you know, the health department is saying that that's what we need to do to be safe. That's what we want everyone to be doing. Just we want our community to be safe.
So we'll end with a little public health order face mask from the Green Bay Packers, which, you know, honestly, if you can buy one of these things, they are coveted items in parts of our country. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks. Thank you again for tuning into the Cop Shop.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.